I'm a yoga teacher, so I really know how to bond with white women. I'm like a whisperer of white women.
Welcome, everybody, to Barefaced Stories.
When my flatmate came home and asked me if I wanted to join her as a phone sex worker, I barely bat an eyelid.
I kind of liked it. I kind of liked the attention. I kind of liked the intimacy.
Welcome back to Barefaced Stories, your weekly invitation to rummage through someone else's life, get a sneaky peek to what's inside. I'm Andrea Gibbs, and this week, William Gammell. Will used to work in one of the biggest warehouse stores in Australia, you know, the one where your weekend isn't complete without a sausage sizzle and your dog gets to joyride in a shopping trolley. It's huge, this warehouse store. And with size comes not just bargains, but bandits. And Will, he wasn't just any employee. He was the best. And he took a rather unorthodox approach to maintaining order.
The only thing that stood between him and freedom was a 50-something kilo 19-year-old young boy. So he looked at me and he ran.
Picture this, a teenage David and Goliath retail edition. Who triumphs? Stay tuned to find out. Hey, before we dive in, grab your calendars because tickets for our first live show of 2024 are now on sale. Circle Feb 29, that extra day in this leap year is ours for the taking, and we are doing it with a theme to match. The theme is going to be Leap of Faith. I'll pop a link in the show notes. It's going to be a night of pizza, of gin, the best stories in town, all underneath the beautiful WA night sky. It is going to be stunning. And someone who knows how good stars look outside of the city is my dad, Jeff. Can you describe what the stars are like out your way away from the city lights?
The sky is just an absolute picture. There's just no interference from the outside. Everything's twinkling. And you know, I'm looking right now at the sky. I can see a satellite going across the sky. I'm looking at the saucepan and the first quarter of the new moon. It's just unbelievable. Out here in the country, it's just so, it's so nice. It's out here in the pitch black. Yeah, it's good. It's beautiful. Shooting stars, you see them quite frequently. Yeah, wonderful.
And what's the best thing to drink when you're under the stars at night, Dad?
On a warm night like this evening, it sort of feels tropical. So your first go-to thing is your gin and tonic. And oldyoungs.com.au, indeed.
Okay, we have to come up with another descriptive apart from tropical. You have a think about it, I'll catch up with you next week, okay?
You know, when you come next time, make sure you wear a tropical shirt because, you know, if we're going to drink gin and tonic and you want to feel tropical, wear your tropical shirt. It takes you there.
Didn't you just hear what I said? We've got to come up with something else apart from tropical. It's too much tropical. We're in a very dry heat here.
Refreshing. The ice. Refreshing. You want to know more? Google it. Old Young.
Thanks, Dad. Enjoy the stars.
Okay. Yeah. There you are. Come on up.
And now, let's roll out the red carpet for William Gammell. Enjoy.
So when I was 14, my parents helped me do two things that would shape the person I am today. So the first thing was getting a job. Now, my mum, she works at a little gardening DIY hardware store. I'm not going to name it, but let's just say lowest prices are just the beginning of this story. So as soon as I was old enough, mum helped me get a job there. Over the years, mum's helped a lot of my siblings get a job there. But they all moved on and went to work in their careers that they studied at university. They went off to become teachers, nurses, work in construction, fashion, film. I recently just graduated from 6 years of university studying performance making. So now I am an independent artist, which means I still get to work for the lowest prices, and I'm probably going to be there for the next 20 years. But when I was 19, I was working in this particular store in Sydney where I used to live. And it's really interesting in this retailer, I guess. The types of people that work in each of the stores are always the same, and they always do the same sort of job. You've probably seen them on the ads, I'm sure. There's always a slightly older, retired builder or someone that works in construction that has white hair, a nice fluffy beard. He's always lovely, and he always works in the plumbing section. Out in the nursery, you always have a slightly older horticulturalist who either used to be like a hippie or is really disgruntled at everything and everyone. There's always a really jacked up guy that either works at the paint counter or the trade desk. In this particular store, there was this guy, and what he used to do is he used to challenge everyone to see how many fingers they needed to lift up a 15-litre tin of paint. And the reason was is because he could lift up two 15-litre tins with only his pinky. Like, that's how jacked up he was. There's always like two middle-aged women who run the safety committee, always like a manager who cares a little bit too much about the rules. And depending on the area you work in, there's always two undercover security guards who like don't work there but are always there. You usually don't see these guys on the ads. They like to keep their anonymity, you know. But on this particular day, I was headed out the store, about to jump on the travelator to go downstairs through the big sliding doors downstairs. And I hear behind me, "Excuse me, sir, undercover security." Not to me, of course, but to a gentleman behind me. And this customer, he was your stereotypical middle-aged builder. Big pot belly, like slightly too short footy shorts, and a paint-splattered footy jersey that was at least 30 years old. And inside his footy shorts was this big bulge. And for a second I was like, is he happy to see me or is he stealing something? It was, of course, the latter. But this thing usually happens, and so I just continued on my way down the travelators. A few moments later, however, I hear this big raucous coming from above me, and what sounded like a stampede running down the travelator to my left. Running down was the big thief, followed by the bigger security guard, followed finally by the even bigger guy that works in the trade desk, you know, the one that lifts 15-litre tins of paint. And so this guy, he's charging at me now, and I'm almost in front of the big sliding doors, and he thinks that I'm in his way, so he stops, goes to turn around to run through the other sliding doors, but by this time, the two larger, considerably jacked up men are in his way. We have him cornered. So, he looks at them. Yeah. Then at me. Then at them. Back at me. And it was pretty obvious to see that the only thing that stood between him and freedom was a 50-something kilo 19-year-old young boy. So he looked at me and he ran. Little did he know that since the age of 14, I had been getting ready for this exact moment. You see, this is where the second thing that my parents helped me do at age 14 comes into play. I always wanted to, as a kid, play rugby. Now, I know it's pretty hard to see now, but I always wanted to play, and I have a rare blood disorder, so the doctor said, no way, no contact sports. And also, I'm tiny. Like, I weigh 59 kilos on a good day now. 14-year-old me was like, yay high. He was tiny. But I went up to my mum and dad, and I said, Mum, Dad, I really want to play football. Rugby union, to be specific. And my dad, who, you know, all dads love sport more than anything in the world, without missing a beat, said, Son, if I could choose one place in this entire world that I could die, it would be in a rugby field. So you get out there and you bloody rip in. And rip in I did. I played rugby for 5 years without a single scratch. And let me tell you, one thing you quickly learn playing rugby and being the smallest person on every single team you play in is how to tackle someone twice your size. So here he is. He's running, charging at me like a bull and a matador, except I refuse to move. And I remember the little technique my under-14s coach told me. And the technique was drop, lock, and stick. Drop your shoulder, lock your arms and stick on for dear life. And stick I did like a little mosquito on a summer's night. I'm on him, riding him, dropping the shoulder, and he's going nowhere. And all of a sudden, backup's there and all three of us on top of him. And we're like squirming around the floor, but like he's down for the count and I'm the biggest hero in the store. I'm talking like free coffees, pats on the back, reliving the moment, like absolutely everyone's going wild until, of course, I hear over the PA system, good afternoon team members, William to the manager's office, that's William to the manager's office. And the thing I've left out to this moment in time is that the manager who likes to stick to the rules a little bit too much in this store at this present time was in fact my mother. Yeah. So I make my way up to the manager's office. She ushers me to sit down, closes the door, and the second that door closes, she is going off her head about like company policy and safety procedures, how I'm a disappointment to our family, about how I should have just stepped to the side and let this fine gentleman run past. And in that moment, the line between manager and mother kind of blur for a moment, and I say, with the utmost respect, of course, I'm so sorry you feel like this, Mum, but if I was in that situation time and time and time again, I promise you, I'm going to do the exact same thing. And she lost it. Even, like, wrote me up for good measure as if that's something a 19-year-old would care about. But I have been reflecting on this this little adventure recently while writing this story, and, like, would I stick by that hard stance I took as a fresh 19-year-old? And the answer is a big no. Like, would I do the same thing again, like, at that age? Yes, of course I would. But, like, I'm 27 now, I've grown up, and what my mum said, like, it's right, I shouldn't put my way in self in myself in the way of harm. So, for any would-be criminals in the audience, just a little word of advice. If you're ever, next time you're in your like local garden DIY hardware store, and if you're ever to see me personally, of course, my one word of advice is just to run it straight. Thank you.
That was William Gammell live at Barefaced Stories in Perth. The theme of the night was Busted. And if you missed it live, you can catch Will's story on our YouTube channel. Just check out the show description for the link to that. The videos that you see on our YouTube, credit goes to Lewis Martin. Our tunes were the one you can hear in the background. That's Odette Mercy and her Soul Atomics, Social Media Magic, all Leah Selwood's doing. I'm Andrea Gibbs. Thanks for dropping by. We'll catch you next week. Don't you be mistaken. No.